Cold and dark and alone, three things that make my heart beat thud in my ears. It had seemed like a good idea to walk to try and find a phone signal half an hour ago. The moon had been shining, and all the stars had been out, and there had even been a warm breeze. Everything had seemed so straightforward then. Where the fog came from, I have no idea. The moon is gone, the stars are gone, and there is a damp chill in the air I can feel through my clothes. I know I'm still on the road because there is tarmac beneath my feet, but I can't see it. I can barely see my phone that I'm using as a torch, let alone anything else. There's still no signal, and turning round to go back to the car is looking like a really great idea. If I could be sure that turning around would actually take me back to the car, that is. At least going forward I have a chance of finding something. But I'm all turned around, so forward could be back, for all I know. Of course, I've never been that lucky, and when my foot catches on something I can't see, I almost go arse over elbow, and my phone flies from my hand. It's like it's happening in slow motion as I watch it fly through the air, a glowing blob in the fog. I hear it skitter across the tarmac for quite a long way. My heart is in my throat, and then my worst fears are realized. It goes out. Now there is no light, just a wall of blackness around me, and I panic. I can't move because I'm rigid with fear. But it feels like my heart is about to explode, my mind won't stop rushing with thoughts. I need to get a hold of myself, but that primal part of me that's afraid of the dark has total control. I'm just about ready to cry out in fear when light pops back into my world. My first thought is, thank God, and my second is, thank you, phone makers, for creating such a hardy piece of technology. I feel silly for about 3 seconds, until the light moves. Now the cold terror is back, as what should be my inanimate phone floats into the air, still nothing more than a blob in the fog. I can't hear anything. Hello? I try. Nothing comes back to me, but the light is getting brighter. The urge to run is quite strong, but the light has me with a primeval need to see. Then, in the fog, I make out a shape outlined in the light. It's tall and vaguely human-shaped, and every horror film I have ever seen comes back to haunt me. My brain kind of shuts down as I wonder what monster is coming to get me. I'm not really ready for it to resolve into a human shape, and a familiar human shape at that. "Don't worry, baby girl," says a very familiar voice. "The cavalry is here." "Tim? Who else?" "But you're not supposed to be here." "Of course. But what kind of man would I be if I broke a promise to my little sister?" I can see his smiling face now, eerily white in the harsh light of the phone. "How does it matter? Someone had to rescue you, or you'll wander into a lake or something. We need to go back that way 100 yards or so, and there's a farm track on the left. It's the only house for miles." I hadn't even seen a road off the one I'm on, and I realize I had walked right past salvation. There are too many thoughts whirling around inside my head, too many questions. So when Tim hands me my phone, I take it and turn at his urging. "Come on, baby girl," he says. "Let's get you safe." As his hand settles on the base of my back, I feel the safety he's talking about already. Tim is 10 years older than me, and he has always looked after me, from skinned knees to troublesome boyfriends. For the first time since the car rolled to the side of the road with a puncture, I feel happy. It doesn't take us long to reach the farm, especially with Tim chattering away to keep me centred. He takes me right up to the door and knocks for us without me having to do a thing. With another man I might have objected, but with Tim it's different. I will always be his little sister. "There you go, baby girl," he says, "safe and sound." Then the door opens, and it's like looking into another world. Suddenly the fog around me is alien, and I feel the chill once again. "I'm sorry," I stutter, typically British. My car has a flat tire, and I'm kind of lost." The woman standing there just looked at me for a moment. After all, I have just dragged her out of bed. And then she seems to wake up. "You poor dear," she says, "come on in." Something shifts as I walk into the house, and the feeling of safety melts away again. "You're lucky to have found us in the fog." "My brother showed me the way."
"Your brother?" the woman says. "Is he still out there?"
"No," I reply. "He's gone." And the tears prickle at the back of my eyes. "He died last year." That's when I burst into tears, and everything that has just happened hits me. It was Tim, my handsome, kind, wonderful brother, who was taken from us in a matter of weeks by aggressive cancer that had spread everywhere before he even knew he had it. My caring, amazing brother, whose last words to me had been, "Don't worry, baby girl. I'll always be there when you need me."